Thank you for joining with us today. We know that as the Holy Spirit has felt here, He is there with you in your homes as well. And we encourage you now to get out the Word of God as we look into what He has for us today. We are on the road again. We have been traveling with the children of Israel for the last several weeks, and we are going to pick up that journey again today. We are in Exodus chapter 16. Remember that you can get your phone. If you have a smartphone, you can go to the YouVersion app. You can go down there where it says events. You can click on events. You can pull up Cornerstone, and there you have all the sermon notes. You have all the scriptures. You have everything that you need there on your smartphone device. There's a place for you to make notes, but the important thing is you need to save that if you want to keep that. Okay, you do have to save it once you're in there. So you can get your YouVersion, you can follow us on the screen, or you can use the old-fashioned thing and get your Bible out and turn to Exodus chapter 16. That's where we'll be today. So we're going to pick up our journey today with the children of Israel. And in this chapter, we're going to study once again how God is going to provide a supernatural miracle for His children. We're also going to see again a typology of Christ in our scripture through the symbol of bread from heaven. And sad to say, once again, we're going to see weak people with no self-government and stumbling at unbelief, which unfortunately has been their pattern. So let's pray and see what the Lord wants to show us today. Father in heaven, we love you and we love your word. And I pray that you will come and make your word real to each one of us this morning. Let us be challenged by the truth of what we read, Lord. Let us not hide from the truth, but embrace the truth, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit shine on our own hearts, places where we need to come in alignment with your word. In the strong name of Christ we pray, amen. So we're going to start reading Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the ESV. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out in this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Seriously? I mean, that's what I want to say. Seriously? These people are saying that they would rather just have been killed by the Lord back in Egypt, where at least they would have died with a full stomach. These people are exasperating. Sometimes they weary me. But being on this journey with them has made me take a hard look at myself. I say, "God, oh, am I like this?" I believe that God has been testing us through the inconveniences of the last 3.5 months. He's been testing our faith. He's been testing our trust in Him. He's been testing our self-discipline. And He's been testing our maturity. Now, the only way that we're going to grow in Christian maturity is to be challenged in our areas of weakness. If God doesn't allow our buttons to be pushed, if He doesn't allow us to be put into places of discomfort and inconvenience, if He doesn't allow us to be put in hard places, we will never grow. I wish there was an easier way, a more comfortable way, but there's not. We never learn how to exercise faith. We never learn how to lean into trust. And we never learn how to tell ourselves no. If we're not put into challenging places, our life is meant to be lived from glory to glory. Now, some people think that living from glory to glory just means going from one mountaintop experience to the next. But if you look at that passage in Scripture in 2 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about going from glory to glory, he's speaking of life transformation. A life of transformation and growth in our journey in Christ. So when we begin at salvation, when we begin at new birth, we're starting on a journey. And we're going to journey forward to life everlasting until we get to our promised land of heaven. And we go from glory to glory in this life as we are transformed more and more and more into the image of Christ. That's our goal. We're transformed into his image as we're changed from our sinful, miss the mark image, what we look like, into looking more and more like him. From glory to glory. For example, when we're kinder today than we were yesterday, we'll glory. That's wonderful. That's more in his image. When we're more patient today than we were yesterday, when we're more patient today and we don't get angry at something like we did yesterday, we're more like his image, glory to glory. When we tell the truth about something instead of lying, when we choose to put what we heard aside instead of repeating it in gossip, we're more like him. You celebrate this growth because you recognize its transformation in your life. When you can stop and think, well, you know what? If what happened to me today would have happened to me a month ago, 2 months ago, man, I'd have just lost it. I'd have been so angry. When you can recognize change and growth in your life, that's glory. When you, before, if there was a time when 6 months ago you would have felt really defeated if something would have happened to you and you would have gone off and you would have binged. But now today, you're able to release those feelings of defeat to God. And you and God are able to grow from that. That's glory. Praise God for that life transformation. Well, the children of Israel started at Passover. We've been with them, and they've been journeying to their promised land. But instead of going from glory to glory, what we see is they are traveling from grumble to grumble. It's unbelievable. But before we become too judgmental, we need to look at ourselves, as I said, very closely on our journey. Has every challenge that we face, has everything that's been an inconvenience, that has been uncomfortable to us, everything that's happened to us in 2020, has every challenge left you stronger? Or have you just filled your life with complaining? It's something for us to think about. The Israelites here in our passage, they're complaining against Moses for the third time in their journey of what, years? No. How long have they been traveling at this point? I heard somebody say days. That's right. It's been exactly 1 month. It's been 1 month, 30 days since they left Egypt. And this is the third time in 30 days, the third time in 1 month that they have sarcastically accused Moses. And it's not really Moses that they're complaining about, but it's God. It's God they're accusing of neglecting them to the point of death. As God's children, anytime that we complain and grumble, it's God that we are really complaining against. True story. Because if you've surrendered your life to God, he brought you into his family as a son. You're in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And God is responsible for your care and your well-being. And if he's allowing something to come into your life, then you need to be having a prayer conversation with him. You need to be asking him to help you discern what is happening and how you should respond. Okay, God, is this a challenge from Satan? Is Satan buffeting me? Is Satan coming against me? Or, God, is this a test from you? Father, are you testing me? Are you trying to grow me? Knowing the answer to that, discerning what's really going on, determines how you can pray. The children of Israel have been on this road 30 days, and in 30 days, this is now the third time they've accused God of neglect with intent to kill. And each time before, God's responded with a supernatural miracle. Remember, he parted the Red Sea. He delivered them from destruction from Pharaoh's army. Remember when they had nothing to drink? He turned those bitter waters of Marah into sweet waters when they were thirsty, and then they had plenty. And now they're complaining about hunger and how God is intending to kill them all in the wilderness by starvation, in spite of everything. In spite of everything the Father has done. They have forgotten the miracles. They have no faith in his goodness. They have no faith in his promises. And they have no faith in his plan for their lives. They have no confidence in his presence. Remember, his presence is right there. Every day, 24/7. Cloud by day, fire by night. His presence is right there. But they have no confidence in even his presence. They're immature and they're filled with unbelief. And in response to their circumstances, God speaks to Moses, verses 4 and 5, chapter 16, and he says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I'm about to rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.'" So God, once again, he tells Moses, "I'm going to supernaturally provide for my children. The bread of heaven will appear, the manna, and they will be satisfied." Now, this is the type and symbol of Christ. Because listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers..." And Jesus talks about what we're studying right here. He said, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This," talking about himself, "this is that bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So God gave the bread from heaven to address the natural condition of hunger to the Israelites. And it was a foreshadowing of the living bread that he would send down from heaven to address the spiritual condition of sin. The Israelites in the wilderness were in a total place of dependency on God. In the wilderness, there was no way that they could find food that would sustain life for them. And this is symbolic of all mankind. We are in a place of total dependency on God as well, looking for something that would sustain eternal life. God gave the bread from heaven, the manna, to sustain life and satisfy hunger. God gave the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, to sustain eternal life and satisfy hunger for righteousness for all mankind. In verse 4 and 5, God told Moses what he was going to do. He clearly states he's going to provide food. But with the food, he said, there's going to come a test to see if the children of Israel will obey him, to see if they will place their trust in him. In verse 6 through 12, Moses and Aaron then go back to the people and they relate what God is going to do. Let's read it. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us." There it is, right there in Scripture. "Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he's heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Seven times in this passage of Scripture, the word grumble or grumbling is used. At this point, Moses doesn't tell them how God is going to supply their need, only that the next day he is. But God is going to provide meat in the evening and bread in the morning. And with this miraculous provision, they'll be reminded once again that God is a loving Father who always provides. So then verse 13 through 22 tells us how this happens. In verse 13 it says, "In the evening, quail came up, covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground." That was the manna. People had no idea what it was. Moses told him it was the bread that the Lord has given them to eat. And in that, he also instructed them with the Lord's command concerning the manna. And this was the test. In verse 16 through 19, Moses instructs them to gather as much as they wanted. Go ahead, go out and get it. Get as much as you think you're going to need. For those that took a lot, it was the right amount. For those who gathered a little, it was the right amount. In other words, God's provision was perfect for the day for each family. And Moses instructed them that none should be kept. Nothing should be left over, stored away for the next day. But look at verse 20. "But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away." This was a test of obedience and faith. God told them, gather only as much as you need for that day. Gathering more and trying to save it for the next day, that was an action of fear and unbelief. It showed that they would not be able, that they could not trust God that tomorrow it would be there again. They could not trust God with their tomorrow. So they were trying to store up enough for today, just in case he didn't answer tomorrow. They were totally still, some of them, in unbelief and fear. God allowed the manna that they stored up to spoil so that they would learn to trust him daily for his provision. Jesus reiterated this trusting concept when he gave his prayer in Matthew 6. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day. So whether we're trusting God for physical provision or spiritual provision, we must learn that we have faith for him in our daily existence. What we need today. The second part of this concept of testing was the seventh day or Sabbath day of rest. Moses instructed them on the sixth day to go ahead and gather enough for that day and the next day. Twice as much. Because day seven was designated as a day for rest, both physically and spiritually. God knew that life was going to be hard. He knew that it was going to be exhausting physically, mentally, and spiritually. So he wanted mankind to have a day of rest. And he modeled this when he created the world. Remember, 6 days he created, on the seventh day he rested. And this was the correct pattern that God was introducing to his children with the whole test of the manna. Supernaturally, they gathered enough for 2 days on the sixth day. And what was left over on the seventh day, it did not spoil. God maintained it for them. There was no rot. But even then, there was still some in disobedience and unbelief, because verse 27 says, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to look for the manna, but they found none. God's intention for the Sabbath was rest and spiritual renewal. That is still his intention. Can I tell you that? That is still his intention for the Sabbath day, rest and spiritual renewal. If we neglect either one of these, our physical man will suffer and our spiritual man will suffer. The end of the chapter 16 says that the people ate the manna in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years until they entered the promised land. And that's when the season of God changed. He still provided for them, but he used other means in that time. In closing, I want to bring you back and bring out the importance of verses 9 and 10. And this will clearly show us the remedy for complaining and grumbling, for a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude, and for unbelief. Go back to verse 9 and 10. Let's read it. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now, what's happening here? God is issuing an invitation for his people to come near. Coming near to his presence is always the answer for grumbling and unbelief. Coming near to his presence is always the answer for a bad attitude. Coming near to his presence is always the answer for fear. So let's do an honest evaluation of ourselves. You don't want to, huh? Let's look at ourselves. Over the past 3.5 months, over the time when we've been so challenged in 2020, how much time have we given to complaining in the last few months? How much time have we given to fear and unbelief? Now let's compare that with how much time we've given to being in the presence of God. How much time we've given to worship? How much time we've given to reading his word? I believe there'll be a correlation. If you feel like that you've given too much time to grumbling, you've had a bad attitude, you haven't responded well, then you probably haven't spent the time in worship and prayer and coming near to his presence that you need to. There's a direct correlation, I believe, between how much complaining we're doing and how much worshiping and drawing near to God that we're doing. Unbelief and a critical and complaining spirit, grumbling, stinky attitude, something just not right in your heart, that cannot stand in the presence of God's glory. And in this passage, the cloud of God's presence, which was always before them, now has taken on an additional manifestation of his glory. Additional weight of his glory is being shown to them in the cloud that day, again to help them, not to bring condemnation. He's not striking them down from the cloud. He's showing his glory again to help them, to encourage them in their faith. When we're in the atmosphere of worship, His comfort and His peace fills our heart. His goodness and His mercy are accentuated to us, and it helps us to know that He is our God. Just like happened earlier when we were singing the blessing, as we declared those words, as we spoke those words, His presence grew and grew and grew in our hearts, and it brought us to a place of peace and encouragement. I want to close with these words from Hebrews, from the Passion Translation. The writer of Hebrews is using this example of the children of Israel to warn us. It's chapter 3, verse 7. This is what the Holy Spirit says. If only you would listen to His voice this day. Don't make Him angry by hardening your hearts like your ancestors did during the days of their rebellion when they were tested in the wilderness. There your fathers tested me and tried my patience. And even though they saw my miracles for 40 years, they still doubted me. This ignited my anger with that generation, and I said about them, they wander in their hearts just like they do with their feet, and they refuse to learn my ways. My heart grieved over them, so I decreed they will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. I'm down in verse 16 of Hebrews 3. They grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief until they dropped dead in the desert. So God swore an oath they would never enter into His calming place of rest, all because they disobeyed Him. It is clear they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. God wrote that generation off. He passed over them to the next generation because they refused to trust, they refused to listen, they refused to obey. God, help us to learn from their ways and not repeat them. We want to change. We want to transform from glory to glory. And we want to enter into His rest. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads with me? You are a good, good Father. And we're so grateful for Your goodness, Lord. And we know that You provide for us every day as a good, good Father. And Lord, we ask You to send even now our Holy Spirit, Your Holy Spirit to us to dwell in our hearts, to shine that light and to show us where we've been complaining, where we've been disobedient, where we've been rebellious, where we've not been trusting, where we've given over to fear. God, show us. Shine Your light, Holy Spirit, as we wait for just a moment in Your presence. God, You've invited us to come near to You. And as we come near to You, You gently show us those places that need to come into alignment. Father, as You're showing those to us today, here in the sanctuary and at home, God, I pray Your Holy Spirit would help us, that You would give us the grace that we need, that You'll give us the courage to repent. God, we repent of our wrong attitudes. We repent of our grumbling and complaining in this season of our lives, Lord. God, there's so much you're wanting to do in this season. There's so much that you want to do in the kingdom, God. And all, if we keep our whole focus on everything that's distracting and everything that's inconveniencing us and everything that's making us uncomfortable, we're going to miss totally what you're saying and what you want us to do, how you want us to be involved in this season, God. So correct us today, Lord. Correct our hearts. Even now, Lord, we repent. Even now, Lord, in your own way right now, would you just ask him? Just ask him to forgive you, because I know we've all done it all across this room. There's been a moment when we've been out of joint and we need his forgiveness. God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me and wash me right now. God, I ask you to help me. Help me to learn and to grow in this time. I don't want any setbacks in my life, Lord. I want to continue to believe the good word of the Lord over this year and over this season. I want to go forward with boldness and a courageous attitude, God. A cooperative spirit to your plan, Lord. Not kicking and screaming or not sitting down and just throwing a fit, Lord, and refusing to move. With your heads bowed and no one looking around, we just always want to give an opportunity for God to move in your hearts today for salvation. If you're in this place and you've not dedicated your life, you've not committed your life to Christ, that's the start of the journey. That's where you begin. Jesus was sent into this world not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to give an opportunity to come into the family of God. He died for you. Is there anyone here and you'd raise your hand and you'd say, I need to know this Jesus. I need to make this commitment. Anyone at all? I just want to pray with you this morning. Just come into agreement with you. You that are watching by live stream, you there in your home, God can meet you right there where you are. Wherever you're watching this, he wants to save you. He wants to bring you into the family of God. Can we just all pray this prayer together this morning? Dear Jesus, I thank you for coming to this earth to bring salvation to me. I admit that I have failed and that I need a Savior. I ask you to come to wash me in your blood, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to put me on that journey. Holy Spirit, I receive you, and I ask you to help me every day to be transformed from glory to glory, from glory to glory, in Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer with us at home today, we ask you to call, get in touch with our office this week. We want to give you some materials that'll help you. We want to strengthen you in your journey today. We just bless you all. Thank you for being in the house of God. I'm just going to close in prayer today. I want to remind you that we have 3 exits from the building. We'll open this door on the side where you can exit to in the back so that you have a free flow out of the building and can maintain your social distancing. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that we've had to gather today in this building and in our homes. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working with us. We are so thankful for your mercy and your grace. We're so thankful for your patience, that you are long-suffering, God. We're thankful that you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we're calling in continually the harvest in this season, Lord. We're calling them in, God. And we thank you for your patience and your long-suffering, Lord. We thank you for your patience toward us as believers, God, as we miss it sometimes, God. We thank you for your patience and your mercy that is new every morning. Father, I continue to bless these people with your peace. I thank you for healing over this body and over our community. We pray healing over every person that's been affected by the virus, and we pray protection, Lord. Heal those that are sick. Protect those that are not, God. Continue to lead us, God, by your presence. Strengthen us in the name of Jesus. And we're so grateful, Lord, for all of your goodness to us. In the strong and mighty name of Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.